Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. If you're watching us on Ustream, it's the Sweet Engine Sounds Network channel on Ustream and on Blog Talk Radio. This is Sweet Engine Sounds. Good evening, everyone, from the Alan Mitsugi Studios at Sweet Engine Sounds Network on Blog Talk Radio. This is Don't Touch That Dial. We got a packed house tonight as far as what to do. We're going to go over the schedules of MeTV Network, Retro TV Network, and I just remembered this is not the right schedule. This is first quarter. I got to get the second quarter schedule. And the new schedules for Antenna TV and MeTV, and it looks like I got to do some research on Retro TV because I reprinted the first quarter schedule. Bill was scheduled to be here tonight. I was kind of late getting everything put up, and you know how daylight savings time is, ladies and gentlemen. It is a rather burdensome process here. But one thing I can tell you is one of the other topics we're going to cover for tonight is Leonard Nimoy. So just as soon as I get this pulled up, we're going to play it as a tribute to Leonard Nimoy. And that is Star Trek. Okay, now that was strange. That was strange, ladies and gentlemen. And those of you watching us on Sweet Engine Sounds Network, I am going to be looking toward another set of computers quite often. But I will look over here to you guys watching on Ustream as well. So do stay with us. Welcome to Don't Touch That Dial. I'm James Farkas right here at the Alan Mitsugi Studios of Sweet Engine Sounds Network at Blog Talk Radio. As you know, Leonard Nimoy, he passed away on February 27th, 2015, the age of 83. As some would say, he lived long. February 27th, 2015, at the age of 83, he was long-lived and prosperous. And there has been a channel created on the Pluto .tv service, which is entirely online, that has anything and everything that has to do with Leonard Nimoy. But we will cover that in our next half hour. So first what we're going to do is we're going to cover the television schedule changes that took place. Some of it today and some of it in the very near future, and it looks like Retro TV Network is going to be a little bit late on their changes because the schedule I printed out for this week's show was, in fact, the one made December 29th, 2015. But the second quarter schedule for MeTV Networks, and we'll start at 5 a.m. and work our way down Monday through Friday, it's Abbott and Costello. 5:30 a.m., Make Room for Daddy. 6 a.m., Petticoat Junction. 6:30 a.m., The Beverly Hillbillies. At 7 a.m., it's The Donna Reed Show. At 7:30, it's I Love Lucy. At 8 o'clock, it is a full hour of Andy Griffith Show or the Donna Reed Show again and That Girl. There's a reason for that. Now, in some areas, the CBS station would carry there's a CBS state like this, for example, the CBS station in Columbus, Georgia, they carry the Andy Griffith Show. But they have allowed the Andy Griffith Show to play on MeTV because WRBL is the same network that has MeTV. It also has the syndication rights to the Andy Griffith Show. So that may be where the Andy Griffith Show will be shown both at 8 o'clock and at 8 o'clock p.m., all times Eastern and Pacific. At 9 o'clock, it's Daniel Boone. Now, in other areas at the 8 o'clock hour, it's another episode of the Donna Reed Show and then That Girl at 8:30. And the reason for that is the programs will be shown in select markets that don't have the rights to the Andy Griffith Show. And in some those markets that don't have the rights, Mayberry RFD is shown usually in those places that don't have the Andy Griffith Show in the market. At 9 o'clock Eastern Time, it's Daniel Boone. 10 o'clock, Perry Mason. And then Perry Mason is on again at 11:30 Eastern. Followed in at 11 o'clock Eastern Time in the morning, it's Quincy, Medical Examiner. That's the new one, and apparently they've had some good success with it, followed by the Rockford Files at noon. At 1, it's Gunsmoke. At 2, it's Bonanza. At 3, it's two episodes of The Rifleman. At 4, Star Trek, the original series. Again, all times Eastern and Pacific. A full hour of Star Trek. At 5, it's Emergency. At 6, it's Chips. At 7, it's two episodes back-to-back of MASH. And again, at 8 o'clock at night, it's the Andy Griffith Show or Mayberry RFD for a full hour. At 9 o'clock, it's Hogan's Heroes. 9:30, The Twilight Zone. Monday through Friday, they've got the Comedy Conundrum. They've not made any changes except to Cheers. They're putting it on Wednesday night, a full hour on Comedy Conundrum. On Monday, it's Bob Newhart Show. Tuesday, it's Taxi. Again, Wednesday is Cheers. Thursday is Welcome Back, Cotter. And Friday is The Odd Couple. We'll talk a little bit more about The Odd Couple next time. It's one of the new shows that just premiered on CBS, by the way. A remake of The Odd Couple with Matthew Perry. And I forget the other guy's name, but I'll do some research and dig that name up in just a little bit. After the breakout, Comedy Conundrum, it's Carol Burnett and Friends at 11 o'clock, 10 Central Time. Then Perry Mason, 11:30 to 12:30. And then the mystery movie runs from 12:30 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And followed by what they're calling the Overnightmares. 2:30, it's Night Gallery. At 3, it's the Alfred Hitchcock Hour. At 4 a.m., it's Thriller. Now, on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m., F Troop, followed by Gilligan's Island, then H.R. Puffin Stuff and Land of the Lost, part of the Sid, Marty Croft, and Me TV Hour. At 8 o'clock, it's Green Screen Adventures. 9 o'clock, Travel Through History, or The Guns of Wolf Sonnet and Branded. At 10 o'clock, Mystery Hunters or The Rebel. At 11 o'clock, Daniel Boone. 12 is The Big Valley. 1 is Gunsmoke, 2 is Bonanza, at 3 o'clock it's Rawhide, 4 o'clock, 2 episodes, 1 is Dead or Alive, 5 o'clock, The Rifleman, 6 o'clock, The Adventures of Superman, part of Super Sci-Fi Saturday Adventures, Super Sci-Fi Saturday Nights, then Batman at 7 o'clock, 6 Central, Wonder Woman at 8, 7 Central, at 9, 8 Central, it's Star Trek. 10, 9 Central, it's Svengoolie. Approximately an hour and a half Classic horror sci-fi movie. Lost in Space immediately after Sting Dooley. Then Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. At 2 o'clock in the morning, it's Get Smart, followed by Car 54, Where Are You? And Gomer Pyle, USMC at 4 a.m. Yeah, you got to get up for Drill Sergeant Carter here. A Sergeant Carter! Yeah, there we go. And on Sunday mornings, it starts with 5 a.m., The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, then F Truth at 6 a.m., Abbott Costello at 7, Welcome Back Cotter at 8, Gilligan's Island at 9, and 2 hours of Saved by the Bell. Then we start the Brady Brunch from 12 to 2 o'clock. After that, The Love Boat. Then it's Catch Me If You Can with Remington Steele at 3. At 4, The Streets of San Francisco. At 5, The Mod Squad. At 6, Hawaii Five-0. At 7, Black Sheep Squadron. At 8, Columbo. If for some reason Columbo runs 2 hours, there will not be an episode of MASH. If it runs only 90 minutes, there will be an episode of MASH after Columbo. Then it starts The Spies Who Loved Me with The Man from U.N.C.L.E. at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, Mission Impossible. Night Get Smart. The Saint at 1. Naked City at 2 for Sunday Night Noir. At 3 a.m., Route 66. At 4, it's Peter Gunn. 4:30, it's Mr. Lucky. And then at 5 o'clock Monday morning, we start the whole thing over again. And that's on MeTV. I look over at the control panel here, and there is no one else on the line but me, and we've got 47 minutes of the show to go. That's great. Good thing I only scheduled an hour tonight. Now we go to Antenna TV. Now, Antenna TV, the affiliate that I refer to is WLTA 66. That is the Auburn, Opelika, Columbus, Georgia station that I usually watch. And we have an East Coast time, there's a West Coast time, but they all run about the same. So the East Coast time I will refer to. In fact, I'm going to fold the West Coast time so I don't get confused by it. There we go. And so we start drawing on this line here. We start Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. with Maud. Yes, that'll get you for that, Walter. That was Maud's husband, by the way. His name was Walter. Of course, that's also the name of the dummy on Jeff Dunham. I can just hear B. Arthur tell Walter, that'll get you for that. At 6 a.m., it's the Patty Duke Show. At 7, it's Father Knows Best. At 8 o'clock, it's Mr. Ed. At 9 o'clock, it's Hazel. At 10 a.m., it's the Burns and Allen Show. At 11, it's McHale's Navy. At noon, it's Green Acres. All kinds are Eastern, by the way. At 1, it's Dennis the Menace. At 2, it's I Dream of Jeannie. At 3, it's Bewitched. At 4, it's Leave It to Beaver. At 5, it's Mr. Belvedere. At 6, it's Three's Company. 7 o'clock at night, Sanford and Son. 8 o'clock, it's All in the Family. 9 o'clock is Good Times. 10 o'clock, Newhart. The new one, with the, well, not new, but it was on CBS, the Vermont Bed and Breakfast. And, of course, by the time of the series finale, Suzanne Flechette is in bed with Bob Newhart again. At 11 o'clock, it's Barney Miller. At midnight, it's Three's Company. Followed at 1 by Too Close for Comfort. At 2 a.m., Doogie Howser, M.D. At 3 a.m., Bewitched. And 4 a.m., I Dream of Jeannie. Saturday and Sunday mornings at 5 a.m., it's the Antenna TV Theater. At 7 a.m., it's the Three Stooges, both Saturday and Sunday. And starting at Saturday, Here Come the Brides at 8 a.m., followed by Safari Tracks at 9, Animal Atlas at 10, Coolest Places at 11, On the Spot at 11:30, Family Style at 12, and another episode of Animal Atlas at 12:30. At 1, it's The Adventures of Ren 10:10. At 2, it's Circus Boy. At 3, it's Small Wonder. At 4, it's Dennis the Menace. At 5, it's Leave it to Beaver. At 6, it's The Ropers. At 6:30, it's Three's a Crowd. At 7, it's An Hour Too Close for Comfort. At 8, it's Evening Shade. At 9, it's New Heart. 10, it's Doogie Howser, M.D. 11, it's Mr. Belvedere. 12, it's Bewitched. 1 a.m., I Dream of Jeannie. 2 a.m., Burns and Allen. 3 a.m., Jack Benny. And 4 a.m., Dennis the Menace. On Sunday, after the Three Stooges, at 5 a.m., it's The Flying Nun. Then it's Gidget at 6 a.m. I do apologize. I unfolded the Western time zones. Daylight savings time and time zones are just, oh, I'm going to correct myself. It's 8 a.m., The Flying Nun. 9 a.m., Gidget. 10 a.m., The Monkees. 11 a.m., Green Acres. At noon, it's The Ropers. At 12:30, it's Three's a Crowd. At 1 o'clock, it's Dennis the Menace. 2 o'clock, it's Leave it to Beaver. 3 o'clock, I Dream of Jeannie. 4 o'clock, Bewitched. 5 o'clock, Small Wonder. 6 o'clock, Mr. Belvedere. 7 p.m., Doogie Howser, M.D. 8 p.m., Evening Shade. 9 p.m., New Heart. At 10, 11, and 12, it's WKRP in Cincinnati. 6 half-hour episodes in a row. Then it's Maud at 1 a.m., Burns and Allen at 2 a.m., Jack Benny at 3 a.m., and Dennis the Menace at 4 a.m. And then they start the whole week over on Monday with Maud at 5 a.m. That is two of the three networks with their schedule changes. And at the moment, I will pull up watchretrotv.com, and we will see if they got the latest schedule up and running. And for Georgia, they don't even have one anymore. There are several different schedules with RetroTV.com. If I would go to the local one in your area, and it's Watch Retro, it's myretrotv.com/affiliates-schedules. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use Alabama as an example. You may want to check your local listings, but I'm going to use Alexander City as a home base, so to speak, and they have not changed their PDF schedule yet, but based on their releases, which they have, announced that Police Surgeon will premiere March 30th, weeknights at 10 and 10:30. So what's on now, which is Route 66, will be changed to Police Surgeon. Other shows, well, they've added Police Surgeon. That was announced in December, but the premiere, it will premiere March 30th at 10 o'clock and 10:30, where Route 66 is at right now. The Retro TV Network has also added, in January, they added WQXT in St. Augustine, Florida. They began broadcasting Retro TV on January 9th, and viewers in St. Augustine were initially able to find Retro TV on Channel 22. It will move to the new WQXT 28.1 later in January. It's probably on that channel now. And WQXT now has Channel 28.1 in the St. Augustine, Florida area, Jacksonville area as well. So be watching down there for that. Of course, Lucan Communications is out of the out of the Chattanooga area. And I posted 8 hours ago, Retro TV, they were sad to learn that Sam Simon, the writer and producer of such classic TV hits as Taxi, Cheers, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, and The Simpsons, has passed away. He left the show after its fourth season in a lucrative arrangement that allowed him to spend much of the rest of his life giving his money away. That's an article by the New York Times. And one of the other shows that is airing now is Mystery Science Theater 3000. That is airing in the afternoons, on Sunday afternoons and Saturday nights. And Offbeat Cinema is back-to-back, Saturday night into Sunday morning. A lot of people on Facebook have changed their profile pictures, or chosen to change their profile pictures into that of Leonard Nimoy. And one of the other shows that they have done is and they have done The Doctors. Put that on Retro TV schedule as well. But aside from that, not many changes to Retro TV Network. They're keeping it low, probably a low profile under the radar, so to speak. So the only major change they have announced is, at this point, from what I'm seeing on the press releases and such, and on their Facebook page, is that Police Surgeon will take the place of Route 66, where it's at now, at 10 o'clock and 10:30 p.m. I'm sorry, 10 and 10:30 Central Time. I take that back. That's possibly where they're going to put they're going to take Naked City off instead of Route 66 and put Police Surgeon on there. I do stand corrected. This daylight savings time is just throwing me off. So on that note, I've already said my piece about daylight savings time, and the schedule changes, if there are any other changes, we will post more about them and let you know about them as well. At this point, we reached almost the halfway point of our show. We only scheduled an hour tonight, seeing as how I'm the only voice on here at the present moment. And, just one update. I did send an open invitation to Eric Estrada. He is he is Ponch from Chips. It's on MeTV at 6 o'clock, 5 Central. And I sent an open invitation to him. I'm looking to send an open invitation to Larry Wilcox. Maybe have both of them on, or try to have both of them on at the same time to discuss Chips and the staying power of that show, why it's remained so popular for some people, at this point. But we come to the halfway point of our show, and we're going to devote the rest of the show to Leonard Nimoy. He was an actor, a film director, photographer, author, poet, singer, and songwriter, and he was known most famously for his role as Mr. Spock, the science officer and commander in the Star Trek franchise of movies and the television series in its original run. He began his career in his early 20s, teaching acting classes in Hollywood, making minor film and television appearances. Among them were some episodes of Rawhide, where he played a Native American in that one. He played the title role in Kid Mont Baroni. He played Narab, one of the three Martian invaders in the 1952 movie serial Zombies of the Stratosphere. In 1965, his first appearance in the rejected Star Trek pilot, The Cage, but he would play the character of Spock until 1969. It would follow with 8 successful feature films and guest slots in various spinoff series. The characters had a significant cultural impact and garnered 3 Emmy Award nominations. TV Guide named Spock one of the 50 greatest TV characters, and after the series, Nimoy starred in Mission Impossible for 2 seasons and hosted a documentary series In Search Of, narrated Civilization IV, and made several well-received stage appearances. He had a recurring role in the science fiction series Fringe. His star is on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He wrote the book I Am Not Spock in 1975. 20 years later, he wrote the sequel I Am Spock. It was written from the viewpoint of sharing his existence with the character. He was also a voice actor. He made special appearances and was a producer. He went into retirement, and we'll cover all of that. He was born Leonard Simon Nimoy, March 26, 1931, in the West End of Boston, Massachusetts, the son of Jewish immigrants from Izaslav, Soviet Union, now the Ukraine. His parents left Izaslav separately. His father, first walking over the border into Poland and reunited in the United States now. His mother was a homemaker, and his father, Max Nimoy, owned a barbershop in the Manhattan section of Boston. There's an elder brother named Melvin. Now, Leonard Nimoy began acting at the age of 8 in children's theater and neighborhood theater. Of course, acting has done well with Leonard Nimoy. He took drama classes at Boston College, saving $600 from selling vacuum cleaners at the Pasadena Playhouse, where he became a devotee of Konstantin Stanislavski's method acting concepts. He learned to play the accordion, which his father advised Nimoy could always make a living, but his grandfather encouraged him to become an actor. His first major role was at 17. As Ralphie in an amateur production of Clifford Odets' Awake and Sing, which dealt with the struggles of a matriarchal Jewish family during the Great Depression. The role lit a passion in him, according to Nimoy, to pursue an acting career. He said, "I never wanted to do anything else." Leonard Nimoy enlisted in the United States Army Reserve at Fort McPherson, Georgia in 1953, served for 18 months until 1955, leaving as sergeant. Part of Nimoy's time in the military was spent with the Army Special Services, putting on shows which he wrote, narrated, and emceed. During that period, he directed and starred A Streetcar Named Desire with the Atlanta Theater Guild. After 2 years of part-time study in 1977, Nimoy earned a Master's of Arts in Education from Antioch College. He received from Antioch University in Ohio an honorary doctorate and awarded for activism in Holocaust remembrance, the arts, and the environment, and an honorary doctorate in humane letters from Boston University. Now, his acting career, he spent over a decade receiving small parts in low-quality movies and the lead in one, along with a minor TV role. He played the title role in the 1952 Kidmont Baroni. It made him a star. The film failed after playing briefly. While he was serving in the military, the film gained a larger audience on television. After his discharge, he got steadier work playing heavy, where his character used street weapons like switchblades and guns, or had to threaten or hit or kick people. Despite overcoming his Boston accent, because of his lean appearance, Nimoy realized becoming a star was not likely. He played more than 50 small parts in B-movies, television series such as Perry Mason, Dragnet, and serials such as Republic Pictures' Zombies of the Stratosphere. He played Narab in that one, a Martian. To support a wife and two children, he often did other work such as delivering newspapers, working in a pet shop, and driving cabs. Nimoy played an Army sergeant in the 1954 sci-fi thriller Them, and a professor in the 1958 science fiction movie The Brain Eaters. He had a role in The Balcony in 1963, a film adaptation of a Jean Genet play. With Vic Morrow, he co-produced a 1966 version of Death Watch, an English-language film version of Genet's play Haute Surveillance, adapted and directed by Morrow and starring Nimoy. The story dealt with three prison inmates, partly as a result of the role. He taught drama classes to members of the Synanon, a drug rehab center, explaining, you give a little here and it always comes back. On television, he appeared as Sonar Man in two episodes of the syndicated military drama The Silent Service, based on actual events in the submarine section of the United States Navy. He had guest roles in Sea Hunt series from 1958 to 60, a minor role in 1961, the Twilight Zone episode of Quality of Mercy. He also appeared in the syndicated Highway Patrol, starring Broderick Crawford. Nimoy was cast as Luke Reed in the Night of Decision episode of Colt 45, starring Wade Preston, directed by Leslie Martinson. Nimoy appeared four times in ethnic roles on NBC's Wagon Train, the number one program in 1962. He portrayed Burnaby Zamora in the Esteban Zamora story in 1959, Cherokee Ned in the Maggie Hamilton story, Joaquin Delgado in the Tiburcio Mendez story, and Emeterio Vasquez in the Baylor Crowfoot story, 1962. He appeared in Bonanza, 1960, The Rebel, 1960, Two Faces West, 1961, Rawhide, also 1961, The Untouchables, 1962, The Eleventh Hour, 1962, Perry Mason, 1963, playing murderer Pete Chenery in The Case of the Shoplifter Shoe, episode 13 of season 6, Combat, 1963 and 65, Daniel Boone, The Outer Limits, 1964, The Virginian, 1963-65, first working with Star Trek co-star DeForest Kelly in Man of Violence, episode 14, season 2, in 1963. Get Smart, 1966, and Mission Impossible, 1969-71. He appeared again in the 1995 Outer Limits series. He appeared in Gunsmoke in 1962 as Arnie, and in 1966 as John Walking Fox. Pardon me, folks. Nimoy and Star Trek co-star William Shatner worked together in an episode of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Project Strigas Affair, and that was run on MeTV during their tribute to Leonard Nimoy. Now, the characters were from opposite sides of the Iron Curtain. With his saturnine looks, Nimoy was the villain, Shatner playing a reluctant uncle recruit. On stage, Nimoy played the lead role in the short run of Gore Vidal's Visit to a Small Planet, shortly before the end of the Star Trek series, at the Pheasant Run Playhouse in St. Charles, Illinois. Dennis Fisher, the biographer, wrote, Nimoy's important role was that of Spock, the half-Vulcan, half-human alien hybrid on Star Trek. The character was to become iconic, considered one of the most popular alien characters ever portrayed on television. And Fisher further noted that viewers admired Spock's coolness, his intelligence, and his ability to take on successfully any task. As a result, Nimoy's character took the public by storm, nearly eclipsing the star of the show, William Shatner. Nimoy and Shatner, who portrayed his commanding officer, became close friends during the years the show was on TV, and they were like brothers, said Shatner. Star Trek was broadcast from 1966 to 1969. Nimoy earned 3 Emmy Award nominations for his work. Now, as far as the how the Vulcan salute came to be. The sign, and he described it during a interview, he said the interview came from the priestly blessing, number 6, 24 to 26, which accompanies the sign. Now, the sign is, according to him, was the letter. He said the letter on the program. I'll have to get that letter again. But when the sign is given, he translated it, said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and grant you peace. The accompanying spoken blessing, live long and prosper. Live long and prosper became the Vulcan catchphrase. And he gave the Vulcan salute, which, of course, resembled the salute given from under the tallit by Jewish priests. He went on to reprise Spock's character in Star Trek The Animated Series and 2 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, when the series was planned in the late 70s, Nimoy was to be two out of 11 episodes. The show was elevated to a feature film, and he agreed to reprise his role. The movies featured the original Star Trek cast, including Nimoy, who directed 2 of the films. He played the elder Spock in the Star Trek movie of 2009, reprised the role in 2013 sequel, Star Trek Into Darkness, both directed by J.J. Abrams. Now, following Star Trek in 1969, he immediately joined the cast of the spy series Mission Impossible and was seeking a replacement for Martin Landau. Nimoy was cast in the role of Paris, an IMF agent who was an ex-magician and makeup expert, Great Paris. He played the role during seasons 4 and 5, and he'd strongly been considered as part of the initial cast for the show, but remained in the Spock role for Star Trek. He co-starred with Yul Brynner and Richard Crenna in the Western movie Catlow. He played roles in 2 episodes of Rod Serling's Night Gallery, 1972 and 73. He played a murderous doctor in Columbo called A Stitch in Crime. Mm-hmm. In 1973, he played a murderous doctor in one of the few criminals with whom Columbo became angry. Nimoy appeared in made-for-TV films such as Assault on the Wayne in 1970, Baffled in 1972, The Alpha Caper in 1973, The Missing or Deadly in 1974, Seizure, The Story of Kathy Morris, that was in 1980, Marco Polo in 1982. He received an Emmy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor in Television Film, A Woman Called Golda in 1982, playing the role of Morris Meyerson, Golda Meir's husband, opposite Ingrid Bergman as Golda in her final role. In 1975, Nimoy filmed an opening introduction to Ripley's World of the Unexplained Museum, located at Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and Fisherman's Wharf at San Francisco. He hosted and narrated the television series In Search Of in the late 70s, which investigated paranormal or unexplained events or subjects. He played psychiatrist in Philip Kaufman's remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But Nimoy was also a stage actor. Leonard Nimoy was a stage actor, and played, he won acclaim for his series of stage roles. He played the role of Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. It toured for 8 weeks. Nimoy also performed in Yiddish theater as a young man. Said the part was like a homecoming to him. He starred as Randall McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1974, a year prior to its release as a feature film. Jack Nicholson was in that role. But during the run of the play, Nimoy took over as its director and wanted his character to be rough and tough and insisted on having tattoos. The costumer for the show was a muse. That was sort of an intimate thing. Here I am with Mr. Spock, for God's sake, she said, and I'm painting pictures on his arm. The reason Nimoy said that the role of Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof was his homecoming was that his parents, like Tevye, came from a shtetl in Russia and could relate to the play when they saw him in it. Later that year, he starred as Arthur Goldman, the man in the glass booth at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego. In 1975, he toured and played the title role in Sherlock Holmes in the Royal Shakespeare Company. A number of authors noted parallels between Rational Holmes and the character of Spock, and it became a running theme in Star Trek fan clubs. Nicholas Meyer, one of the writers of Star Trek, said that the link between Spock and Holmes was obvious to everyone. Meyer gives a few examples, including a scene in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, in which Spock quotes directly from a Conan Doyle book and credits Holmes as forefather to the logic he was espousing. In addition, the connection was implied that Star Trek The Next Generation played homage to both Holmes and Spock. By 1977, he had played 13 important roles in 27 cities. He also played Martin Dysart in Equus on Broadway. Other roles that he played was Malvolo in Twelfth Night. He also starred in Vincent, a one-man show in which Nimoy wrote and published as a book in 1984. The audio recording of the play is on a DVD under the title Van Gogh Revisited. It was based on the life of artist Vincent Van Gogh, in which Nimoy played Van Gogh's brother, Theo. Other plays include Oliver at the Melody Top Theater in Milwaukee, 6 RMS Riv View opposite Sandy Dennis in Florida, Full Circle with B.B. Anderson in Washington, D.C., and later in Full Circle. He was also in Camelot, The King and I, Caligula, The Four Poster, and My Fair Lady. After directing a few television show episodes, Nimoy started directing in 1984 with the third installment of the film series Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. He would go on to direct the second most successful film in the franchise after the 2009 film Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home in 1986. Three Men and a Baby he directed in 1987, the highest-grossing film of that year. The successes made him a star director. At a press conference, Nimoy said he had no further plans or ambition to direct, although he enjoyed directing when he did it. Nimoy was also a voice actor. He was a narrator in the 1994 IMAX documentary Destiny in Space, showcasing the footage from space of 9 space shuttle missions over 4 years' time. He also voiced the narration of the English version of the Sega Dreamcast game Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N, and promoted Y2K educational films. Together with John Delancey, another actor from the Star Trek franchise, created Alien Voices, an audio production venture that specialized in audio dramatizations. Among the works are by the pair are The Time Machine, Journey to the Center of the Earth, The Lost World, The Invisible Man, and The First Men in the Moon, as well as several television specials for the Sci-Fi Channel. Nimoy said that Alien Voices was discontinued because the series did not sell well enough to recoup the costs. In 2001, he voiced the role of Altanian Atlantean King Kashikim Nadaka in the Disney animated feature film Atlantis: Lost Empire, which featured Michael J. Fox voicing the lead role. Excuse me, folks. He provided a comprehensive series of voiceovers for Civilization IV. He did the television series Next Wave. He interviewed people about technology. He was host of the documentary film The Once and Future Griffith Observatory, currently running in Leonard Nimoy's Event Horizon Theater, the Griffith in Los Angeles, California. They're major supporters of the observatory, Nimoy and his wife Susan Bay Nimoy. And they were major supporters of the historic 2002 to 2004 expansion. He voiced the part of the Zarn, an Altrusian, in the television-based movie Land of Lost, starring Will Ferrell. He also provided voiceovers for the Star Trek Online massive multiplayer online game, as well as Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep as Master Xehanort, series' leading villain. Tetsuya Nomura, the director of Birth by Sleep, stated that he chose Nimoy for the role specifically for his role as Spock. And Nimoy was also a popular reader for selected shorts and ongoing series. Here's a sample of his work. It's The Brain's Inner Workings, Part 1, Structure and Function.
This is a challenge. Subserving behaviors, like winning at chess. Now we are well on track toward unlocking the mysteries of some of those special abilities. Progress in brain research has been due both to the increasing number of scientists interested in studying the brain and to unprecedented technological innovations. These new tools give us a window to the brain.
Pretty good reading. The AEN TV network in 2000, Nimoy provided on-camera hosting and introductions for 45 half-hour episodes of Our 20th Century. The series covered world news, sports, entertainment, technology, and fashion using original archive news clips from 1930 to 1975 from the National Archives in Washington, D.C., as well as other private sources. He played Dr. William Bell on the television show Fringe. He opted for the role after previously working with Abrams, Roberto Orci, and Alex Kurtzman on the 2009 Star Trek film and offered another opportunity to work with the production team again. He was also interested in the series, which he saw as an intelligent mixture of science and science fiction. And he continued to guest star through the show's fourth season, even after his stated 2012 retirement from acting. His first appearance in Bell was in the season one finale, There's More Than One of Everything, which explored the possible existence of a parallel universe. On the May 9th, 2009 episode of Saturday Night Live, he appeared as a surprise guest in the Weekend Update segment with Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine, who played the young Spock and Kirk in Star Trek that had just premiered days earlier. In the sketch, Quinto and Pine attempt to appease longtime Trekkers by assuring them that the new film would be true to the original Star Trek. He started Never Forget in 1991. He co-produced with Robert Radnitz. The movie was about a pro bono publico lawsuit by an attorney on behalf of Mel Mermelstein, played by Nimoy as an Auschwitz survivor, against a group of organizations engaged in Holocaust denial. Nimoy, he said he experienced a strong sense of fulfillment from doing the film. In 2007, he produced the play Shakespeare's Will by Canadian playwright Vern Thiessen. The one-woman show starred Jean-Marie Simpson as Shakespeare's wife, Anne Hathaway. The production was directed by Nimoy's wife, Susan Day. In 2010, he announced he was retiring from playing Spock, citing both his advanced age and the desire to give Zachary Quinto the opportunity to enjoy the full media attention with the Spock character. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep was to be his final performance. He announced his intent to return to Fringe and reprise his role as William Bell
He continued voice acting despite his retirement, and his appearance on the third season of Fringe included his voice. His character appeared only in animated scenes. He provided the voice of Sentinel Prime in Transformers Dark of the Moon. Nimoy made a cameo appearance in an alternate version music video Bruno Mars' Lazy Song. Aaron Bay Shuck, the Atlantic Records executive who signed Bruno Mars to the label, is Nimoy's stepson. I do ask for pardon on that. I know we got about 8 minutes left. Nimoy provided the voice of Spock. He's a guest star in the season 5 episode of The Big Bang Theory, titled The Transporter Malfunction. He reprised his role of William Bell as Fringe for the fourth season, The Letters of Transit and Brave New World. Nimoy reprised his role as Master Xehanort in the video game Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance. He narrated a satirical segment about Mitt Romney's life in Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He reprised his role as Ambassador Spock in a cameo appearance in Star Trek Into Darkness, becoming the only actor from the original series to appear in both of J.J. Abrams' Star Trek films. He was a photographer. He was also a director. He was a writer. In music, he did 5 albums of musical vocal recordings on Dot Records. In February of 2014, Leonard Nimoy revealed publicly he had been diagnosed with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a condition he attributed to a smoking habit he had given up about 30 years earlier. On February 19th, having been in and out of hospitals for the last several months, Nimoy was taken to UCLA Medical Center for chest pains. On February 27th, 2015, at the age of 83, in his Bel Air home, Nimoy died of complications of COPD. He survived by his wife, 2 children, 6 grandchildren, a great-grandchild, and his elder brother, Melvin. Nimoy shared some of his poetry on Twitter. Quote, "Life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory. LLAP, which is live long and prosper." Nimoy's remains were buried during a funeral service March 1st in Los Angeles. The service was attended by nearly 300 family members, friends, and former co-stars. William Shatner's daughters were in attendance in place of William Shatner, who was at a previous engagement. The New York Daily News writing Captain Jerk as their headline. Zachary Quinto, Chris Pine, and J.J. Abrams also attended the funeral service and personal tribute. Poured in as well. Walter Koenig, George Takei, William Shatner, Michelle Nichols, all of them, including Quinto, he wrote, "My heart is broken. I love you profoundly, my dear friend, and I will miss you every day." President Barack Obama met Nimoy in 2007, and he remembered him as a lifelong lover of the arts and humanities, a supporter of the sciences, generous with his talent and his time. Buzz Aldrin, former NASA astronaut and former U.S. senator, called Nimoy a fellow space traveler because he helped make the journey into the final frontier accessible to us all. NASA astronaut Terry Virtus took a picture of the Vulcan salute from the International Space Station, which was in orbit above Nimoy's hometown of Boston at the time. Leonard Nimoy was 83 years old. What more can be said? Not much more can be said about Leonard Nimoy. It's pretty good that I was able to carry the full hour all by myself. He lived long and he prospered. And boy, did he give back. He gave back a lot. So tonight, to end our show, we're going to play the end theme to Star Trek from the television series. Of course, it was on last night. Well, I think... yeah, we're going to play a song. We're going to play a song at the very end. But, you know, what more can be said? Apparently not much more. So, tonight... we close with Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. To fast forward a little bit. Yep, we know that for sure. On behalf of all of us at Sweet Engine Sounds Network on Blog Talk Radio, this is the Alan Mitsuki Studios, by the way. The show is Don't Touch That Dial. And tonight, we bring you back to regular programming already in progress. Thank you so much for joining us.